Would you give the Lord a clap offering? Amen. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate y'all. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to the book of, actually, we're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I want to read one verse of Scripture there. And, of course, we've been in this series, The Commanded Blessing, and I want to take that a little deeper this morning for just a few minutes, if we could, and just take that a little bit deeper. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and then I want to read a verse of Scripture out of the book of Proverbs. And this has been my prayer that I've been praying, that God would give us as a body a commanded blessing in our lives. That according to Deuteronomy 28, God promised them that if you'll walk in obedience, that every promise that is here in the book of Deuteronomy we can have. And, you know, we can, God has put before us blessing and cursing. And we can either live under the blessing of God or we can live under the curse of this world. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather live under the blessing of God than to live under the curse of this world. Amen. So I want to read just a couple of verses here out of Deuteronomy. Hopefully you're praying that with us. I'm reading it every day and praying it over my life and praying it over the life of those I love in our church and believing God for great things. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let's begin in verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds and the increase of your cattle and offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you and be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouse and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will command a blessing upon you and your storehouse. I want to read a passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 18. And beginning in verse 21, just one short, quick verse there. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. Amen. You know, I don't know about you this morning, but I know that blessing is a very powerful force. And it's all through the Word of God. It kind of reminds me of the story of the man who wanted to bless his friend. He was opening a business. And he was opening this new business at a new location. So he desired to send him a bouquet of flowers to commemorate and to congratulate him on opening his new business. Well, instead of a bouquet of flowers being sent to the man, they sent him a wreath. And on the wreath it said, "My condolences." And the man called his friend and said, "Hey, is this some kind of sick joke?" And he said, "Are you trying to curse my business?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, No. I can't believe that they did that." And so the man was furious, and he called the florist, and he said, "Hey, what happened here? You sent a bouquet wreath to my friend who's opening a business, and I wanted you to send him a bouquet of flowers, but you sent him something else." And the florist paused for just a second and apologized, and he said to the man, he said, "Man, that's the least of my concern." He said, "The greater of my concern is that there is a funeral that is going on somewhere in this city right now, and someone has received a bouquet of flowers that says, 'Good luck in your next location. You came through hell to get there.'" You know, you know, sometimes things can get mixed up. But blessing and cursing is a real thing. And we've been talking about the commanded blessing of God. And first week we talked about ownership and stewardship, that the commanded blessing of God comes through ownership and stewardship. Last week we talked about having a blessed consciousness, understanding that the commanded blessing of God, according to Psalms 133, talks about the commanded blessing of God comes in the picture of covering. When the oil ran down the head of Aaron's beard, it was a picture of the covering of God. It was the symbolism of God covering his people. Matter of fact, Psalms 140 says, "The Lord is my strength and my salvation, and you have covered my head in the day of battle." It's a picture of the anointing of God being upon our lives, the blessing of God. Deuteronomy 19:15 says that every open vessel which has no cover and no fasten on it is unclean. And it's a picture of that we all need the covering of God in our life, the commanded blessing, a commanded consciousness. A blessed consciousness is understanding that God has blessed our life and covered our life. You say, well, what's that got to do with the New Testament? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "There is treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of his power may be of God and not of us." In other words, we are vessels. And the blessing of God, the commanded blessing of God, is God's anointing and hand over our lives that cover our life. It is a great picture of lordship, of God's lordship in our life. It's the foundation of lordship. A commanded blessing consciousness has the idea of obedience and order, has positioned us to continually be under the covering of the blessing of God. How many are thankful you're under the covering and the blessing of God? Your obedience positions you to receive the obedience of God. Your obedience to God, your lordship positions you for the blessing of God. And the word command means to order. It means to set in order. In other words, when we use the word command, it's the same word that was used in the Old Testament when it said, "And God said, let there be light." In other words, it's a word, a divine act, a word that is used. The commanded blessing is a divine act of God that works in the believer's life who is obedient, and it positions us for the blessing of God. But not only positions us for the blessing of God, it covers us, puts our life in order, and positions us for God's work in our life. It's the commanded blessing of God. It's order. It brings order to our life. I told you last week, you want to know whether or not something's in order, is that watch how it responds to order and structure. You put order and structure on something, you'll find out just how orderly it is. The reason most people can't get into a place where God can bless them is because they've never understood God's order in their life. That's why they go from job to job. That's why the chaos in their life keeps the blessing of God from their life. And what happens is they live their lives in such chaos, when they walk into a place of order, they don't know how to act. That's why when they live their life in such chaos, they go and get a job, and now they've got to clock in on time. But because their life is in such chaos, they don't understand what order is. And when order touches something in our life, it reveals to us what it really is made of. Order, the order of God, when it touches our money, when it touches our marriages, when it touches our relationship with people, how we respond to it tells us whether or not we have our life in order. And the order of the commanded blessing of God is that God orders our lives and orders our steps. And so when we talk about the conscious blessing of God, the blessed consciousness, knowing that we are blessed people, I know this morning I am covered by the blood of Jesus, that God's covering is on my life because I've obediently submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. And so there's a commanded blessing that comes with that. But this morning, I want to talk about the commanded blessing, but I want to talk about blessing and cursing. God's blessing and man's favor. Blessing and cursing. God's blessing and man's favor. You know, it's amazing to me. I read you that scripture, the power that our words have. Now, I have to be honest with you this morning. This message has really touched me. When I begin studying this, I begin to realize how many things in my life has been moved out of order. And we take some things for granted, and we don't realize how powerful they are. How many know your words are powerful? They're so powerful, the Bible says they have life and death in them. It doesn't say that they just discourage. It doesn't say they just tear down or that they just do this or do that. Your words have the power to bring life or death into a situation. That's strong. How many know that's strong? So that tells me this. It tells me that my words have the ability to bring the blessing of God to my life. I have the ability to bring life to me just by my confession, just by the things I say, just by the things that I let release out of my heart and out of my life. I have the ability to make my life much easier if I understand that if I speak life, life will come. If I speak death, then death will come. There's the power of life and death that is in the power of our tongues. Now, what's interesting is that God, in our words, we have the ability to bless or to curse. Cursing puts an opposition to the reason that Jesus died. When we speak cursing with our words and confession, when we begin to curse things, we are being put in opposition to why Jesus came. The scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. When we curse, what we're doing is we're in direct opposition to the purpose and reason why Jesus came. So when you speak cursing out of your mouth and into an environment, you are actually coming against what God wants to do. God wants to bless, but if you're cursing, God can't bless. If you're speaking death to a situation, God can't bless it. God can't cover it. God can't bring a blessing to it. If you are always speaking the death of it, God cannot bring life. You're in direct opposition to what God and Jesus came for. And he came that men might have life and have that life more abundantly. And what happens is when we begin to curse people and begin to curse our situation and begin to curse what we are, who we are, or what we've done, we are literally pushing back against what God really wants to do, not only in our life, but in the purpose that he has for anyone else. So cursing has the ability. In other words, I set a standard of cursing. It's not just speaking evil. In other words, when we begin to speak curses, when we begin to talk curses, if someone curses you, God will defend you. The Bible tells us that. God is our Father, a Father who does not want his people. Listen, God is a Father. He will defend his children. He will defend you when others curse against you. He will cover you in that same moment. God will cover you through the blood of Jesus because of cursing that may be spoken to you. But here's what happens. The Bible said this. It says this in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim, release the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, and set free those who are oppressed." In other words, proclaiming the good news is staking a claim to Jesus. In other words, when we stake a claim, we are defeating curse, a curse. So it goes like this. When Jesus came, it said, "And he sent me to proclaim." The word proclaim is an interesting word. Pro comes from the meaning to claim, or advance, Claim comes the word, which means a right to something or to assess and demand the recognition of a right, a title, or possession. So proclaims means to advance the claim, and it means this, to proclaim God's goodness and mercy and favor in a situation. In other words, to speak blessing is proclaiming. See, when we speak blessing over people, we are proclaiming. What we're doing is we're proclaiming a right. We're proclaiming a position. We're proclaiming something. When we proclaim, we release God's intention for what we're proclaiming. So when we proclaim or when we bless, what we're saying is, God, let your will be done and your intention be done in the lives of those in whom we're blessing. So what happens is, if you want something to change in your life, if you want a situation to turn around, if you want a breakthrough in some area, instead of cursing that thing with the negativity of your words, you need to start proclaiming it, that it belongs under the blood of Jesus, and proclaim that it comes into alignment with God's will. And when we begin to proclaim, we begin to release God's intention over the very thing that we're praying about. We are to proclaim. We release God's intention. And Jesus fulfilled Luke chapter 4, verse 18, in his life on this earth. He preached the good news and healing and deliverance from the oppressed and that forgave them of our sins. He proclaimed. Listen, proclamation is to agree with God regardless of our feelings. Now, here's how this works. You may have a situation that has made your feelings feel something different. You may be angry at someone. You may be upset at a situation. And what happens is when you begin to curse that situation and you begin to curse on that, what you're doing is you're blocking what God's intention in that situation should be. So when you begin to curse something, regardless of your feelings, proclamation is really coming. Amos said it like this: how can two walk together unless they agree? Agreement with someone. In the Hebrew, the word means this. It means to meet together. Agreement is vital to every relationship. So agreement is that we cannot agree if we don't feel the same way. That's our idea of agreement. That we must feel the same way whether there's agreement or not. The truth is, we can have agreement with God regardless of how we feel. See, you may feel like not blessing something, or you may feel hurt by something. But if you curse it instead of bless it, what you're doing is you're working against God's intention to work that thing out in our life. And so we need to begin to proclaim over it and begin to simply agree with God. Whether I agree with God, whether I agree with the situation or not, I can come in agreement with God on it and bless it instead of curse it. And agreeing with God is standing and declaring His will on earth as it is in heaven. That's agreement with God. The blessing of God, to bless something, to proclaim something. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives. To proclaim it, to bless it. Not curse it, but to bless it and not let it be a curse in our life. John 4:23 says, "But the hour has come and is now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." The word worship there is similar to the very same word for blessing. In other words, what's He saying? In the last days, He's seeking those who worship God in spirit and truth. What's He searching for? He's searching for worshipers. Worshipers are blessers. You say, well, you mean worshipers are blessers? It's almost the same word. Psalm 16 says, "Bless the Lord who has given me good counsel." Psalms 34 says, "Bless the Lord at all times and let His praise be on my lips." To bless the Lord, in other words, to worship is blessing. To worship is bless, is to bless the Lord. God in the last day is looking for those who will go around the earth and bless instead of curse. Now what's happened is that we've gotten into such a routine as a culture, as a society, as a church, as people, that everything we don't like, we want the curse. We want to negativity it. We want to tear it down. We want to break it. We want to destroy it with our words. I'm here to tell you that the commanded blessing of God will come on people who will look at a situation and say, I don't always agree with that situation, but I'm going to speak blessing over it instead of cursing it. And when we learn to walk in the blessing of it instead of cursing it, there will be a commanded blessing that comes on our lives. Why? Because our tongues have power of life and death in it. You want to change a situation? Start blessing it. You want to change the outcome of your life? Start blessing it. You want to change a situation at home or with someone? Start blessing it. Start speaking blessing over it. Now, I know this goes against you. I know it goes against man in general. His fallen nature tends to oppose blessing. We want to curse. We want to talk about it. We want to destroy. We want to bring down. We want it to die so that we get satisfaction out of seeing it die. But I'm here to tell you that everything that has life, God has a plan for it all. And it may not be, listen, it's like this. I don't know about you, but we can be so negative toward our country, we begin to curse our country instead of bless our country. Y'all hearing me? And let me tell you, there's plenty of things to be negative about, right? I mean, we all got issues and can have issues. But what happens is, if you get a whole nation cursing a nation, what do you think is going to happen to the nation? It'll be cursed. Why? Because life and death is in the power of our tongue. And we as believers have the ability to change things just by the things that we bless and by the things that we curse. All right. But what we want to do is that we always want to curse something. We're living in a society that loves that debate, that loves the curse, that loves to bring down instead of bless. I'm here to tell you, when you begin to bless and proclaim, what you're doing is you're releasing the intention of God into that situation. You got a husband that's not acting right? You want him to change? You don't go home and curse him every day. You lazy, no good, smelly feet, over, you know, dumb lot belly, fried chicken eating, can't get a job. Right? But you do that, you'll get what you're praying for. You'll get what you're cursing. It'll always be there because the situation won't change. But people who understand the commanded blessing of God, that there's power in the words they say in life, they walk into that situation and they speak those things as not as though they are. They begin to speak those things to the existence of what they believe God's intention is for them to be. It's not God's intention for your husband to be the big, smelly feet, lazy, won't no good, get a job, fried chicken eating, dumb lot belly looking dude. But what you're doing is you're speaking that curse over his life. You're coming into an agreement with it. And when you come into an agreement with it, it will be as you speak it. Huh? Now you can't ignore the obvious of real life, but the truth is, if you begin to bless it and begin to speak it and what God's intended for it to be, I believe you can begin to see that thing start to turn around as it is. We all get caught up into this. Listen, when we get wounded or when we get discouraged, we have a tendency to lean to the negative side. And we lean to that negative side and we go there. And all of a sudden, because somebody's disappointed us, we think we have the right to declare blessing and cursing on them. Y'all didn't hear me. You think because somebody wronged you that God has given you a special place to put blessing and cursing on them. I'm here to tell you, You have no right to speak blessing or cursing over anyone, because we're all saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But we speak cursing. And what happens is, if we can learn the power of blessing and cursing, God can begin to change. Listen, the Bible says this. We're either blessing or we're cursing in our lives. There is no neutral ground. God is the blesser. The devil is the curser. See, that's Jesus 101. Right? Y'all got that? How many know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren? How many know that? Let me give you some Bible. Then I heard a voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before God day and night. How many know the accuser accuses day and night? See, the first way that we curse is through accusation. The first way we open the door for curse in our life is accusations are a curse. Most people do not want to commit sin. I mean, most of us don't. The reason why most people do is because they're under a curse. Their eyes are blind to something. But it is possible for someone under constant accusation to come to the place that where they begin to agree with the accusation. See, curses that come by accusation, there's an agreement with the accusation which gives that sin a yield sign. So what happens is when someone begins to curse someone and bring accusation as to who they are and what they represent, what happens is over a period of time, that person can come into agreement with that accusation. It's exactly what the devil wants to do to you. He's standing over you, telling you, you're not a child of God. You're not saved. You've not been born again. You can't do that. You can't do that. It's accusation after accusation. But what happens is when you come into agreement with that, all of a sudden you begin to live out that accusation. But what happens in accusation is some people come into agreement with that accusation. I was counseling a girl one time who said to me, she said, you know, Pastor, all for about 5 years growing up in high school, my parents kept accusing me of doing something. And they did it every year I was in high school. They believed that that was what I was doing. And I wasn't doing it. But I finally got to the point where I got so tired of being accused of it, I thought if I'm going to be accused of it, I might as well start doing it. And what happened is they came into agreement with that accusation. Because that accusation began to speak into their life. It had power. It brought death. They came into agreement with it. Accusation has the ability to bring curses onto our lives if we come into agreement with it. Now here's something else different about accusation. When we come into agreement with accusation, we come against what God wants to do in the life of that person. We withhold God's heart and intention for someone, and it becomes a curse. Someone's negative actions or attitude toward us, all of a sudden, we begin to bring accusation. We begin to speak something over their life. And when we bring that accusation, what we're doing is we're withholding what God wants for them. We're withholding the blessing. We're withholding the love that is due to them. We're withholding God's goodness from them. And when we bring accusation and come into agreement with that accusation, we're stopping God's work in their life. Now let me give you an example of that. The Bible gives an example of, so when a husband withholds blessing from his wife and he prays, his prayers can literally be hindered, the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together through the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What happens is when we come into an agreement with accusation to someone or about someone, it doesn't just affect them. You're not just cursing them, but you're cursing yourself. You know why? Because now your prayers become hindered because you came into an agreement with an accusation or a curse over someone's life. Why? That's the principle of the word. What did it say? Husbands, how to treat your wives when you're not in order and you don't line that up with the word of God. What happens? Your prayers become hindered. It's a principle that we see in the Word of God. We're not to speak anything that's contrary to what is God's will. Cursing reveals the heart is full of bitterness. When we begin to curse, it reveals that our heart is full of bitterness and resentment, which will flow out of our mouth. It's a powerful thing. I think we underestimate the value of our words and the power of our words. I think we underestimate them. I think we've taken them for granted. I think we somewhat have been conscious of them, but we really have not understood how powerful they are. But a church that has a commanded blessing on them knows how to take people that have lived under a curse and know how to take people that are captive and hurting and hearts broken and know how to bring them in and begin to speak the life that is over them and in them by God and speak it over them and let the life of God come in outside of them. God's looking for some people in the last days that knows how to speak blessing over the people of God. God's looking for a church that knows how to call in what God's intention for their lives are. We're not going to bring the will of God for our church and for our body by sitting here talking about how negative America is and how negative the world is. Guess how we unlock the blessing of God in our life? As we begin to bless what God's doing, we begin to call in the blessing of God into our lives and call it in through blessing and not cursing. I'm here to tell you, I can tell you, the Bible tells us that curses cannot land without a cause. Proverbs 26:2. Like a fluttering sparrow, like a flying sparrow, so a curse without a cause shall not alight. In other words, it's saying what happens is when there is no room for a blessing to land, where there's no room for blessing to come, a curse will reject blessing. A curse will keep the blessing from coming. That's why and praying Deuteronomy 28 and praying, what we're doing, we're releasing. We're speaking life. Listen, did you know the second part of that chapter is about cursing? Now, I could preach the cursing, and I could get your mind on the curse, and get your mind on the curse. But all that would do is just make you feel, you know, I mean, we could talk about curse and the negative side of it. But listen, I think the blessing of God wants to be upon you. And the blessing of God, understanding the blessing of God, will release God's blessing into our life. See, blessing is an interesting thing. We all like to look at blessing through the prism of what we know or what we agree with. See, we think blessing is on everything we agree with. Can I tell you, God, the blessing of God is not a Democrat and not a Republican. I know that's going to mess some of y'all up. I know it's disappointed you, and I know you want to find it somewhere in the Bible. But I'm here to tell you, God is not a Democrat or a Republican. Blessing does not fall on just Republicans. Some Democrats. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 5, Joshua was going over to investigate to see what the land was like and to see what the military. And when, if you remember, he walked up and there was a soldier that was standing there on before him, a big tall warrior in front of him. And Elijah looked up and Joshua looked up and saw him. And Joshua looked at him and he looked and said, "Behold, a man was standing opposite to him with a sword drawn in his hand." And Joshua went to him and said this to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And what did the warrior say? He said, "No, rather I indeed come without a captain, as a captain of the Lord of hosts." In other words, he said, "I'm not on anybody's side. I'm on God's side." And I want to tell you, the blessing of God is not on your opinion. The blessing of God is just not on what you would think. The blessing of God is on God's side. It's on God's word. The blessing of God is on who God is. It's a representation of, it doesn't take sides. Joshua wanted to know what side that angel was on. What side was he going to stand? I'm telling you, he's going to side on the side of righteousness and the blessing of the Lord. That's where he'll stand. Hallelujah. Blessing is not about sides. God is not against us. This is not to say that we should neglect positions of righteousness. Blessing is about seeing what God intends to happen, not the way it is at the moment. Blessing is having the ability to see what God has intended for something to happen. Blessing and cursing. Blessing and cursing. Blessing and cursing. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be blessed. I want blessing to come to my life. Can I tell you how many people I have met and talked to that have come to my office and said, "Pastor, I've had people speak this over my life. I've been called stupid all my life. I've been called an idiot all my life. I've been told I'll never amount to anything or do this or be able to do this." Some of you have lived in environments where cursing has followed you all your life, to the point to where you believe that cursing and you begin to live out everything people have prophesied over you and said to you. And sometimes people say it out of anger and hurt or whatever reason. You know, when I first got saved, I told you all the story about when I got saved, and I went to my father's house, and I wanted my dad to be saved too. So I went to his house, and I emptied out his liquor cabinet and got rid of all the things that were sinful in his house, and I threw away about thousands of dollars worth of liquor and all these things he had, and thinking that he was going to be happy that I did that, because I got saved, and I'm happy. I'm like, "Hey, Dad, try Jesus," you know. Well, that's not how he responded. It wasn't very good, and it wasn't a good scene. But my life up to then, living my life was not an example of Christ. I'd only been saved a short time. So what his experience with me was is that I live life from a cursed position. And he didn't believe that God had the ability to change me. So when I did those things, he was looking at me from a cursed position. And so that evening, I remember these words that he said to me. He said them in anger. He had been drinking. Of course, he wasn't going to be able to drink no more that night because everything had been poured down the drain. But he looked at me, and this is what he said. He said, "Shane, you are a loser. And you will always be a loser. And some God won't ever change that." Now listen. How many know those are strong words? Now I know in my father's heart, he really did not want that for my life. But when you speak from the place of cursing in your life, that's how you talk. When you're hurt and when you're wounded, And what I had to do was, I had to take that curse and what was spoken over me, and I had to take that thing and believe and not receive it and say, that's not what God says. That's not what God says about me. I had to learn that that's not what God says. That's not what God says. But you know, those words had always bothered me for the longest time until I had a conversation with my father about it, which we eventually made right. But there's life and death in the power of the tongue. There's power in the words we say and what we curse and what we don't curse. And maybe some of you are here this morning. Adam, would you come? You're here this morning, and people have spoken curses over your life. And what happens is those accusations you've come into agreement with, and now in some areas of your life you have lived them out. But I want to ask you this also. What areas have you come in agreement with an accusation? In other words, maybe you have believed an accusation about somebody and you've come into an agreement with it. And instead of being a blessing to someone's life, now you've come in agreement with that curse, and you come into agreement with what that curse is over their life. There's power in words. There's power in words. There's power in proclamation. There's power in what we confess. I'm here to tell you the blessing of God, the commanded blessing of God, is when believers learn to begin to bless instead of curse over people's lives. We do it non-casually. We all do it. I'm telling you, I myself have been just thrown under conviction over it. And I'm telling you, I've led the way in some just nonchalantly. I mean, how many of y'all ever called someone an idiot? They cut you off, idiot. Right? No, I'm serious this morning. I'm serious. We live in such a negative society, such a negative world. I mean, we're seeing it being played out in the world we're living in. I mean, I'm telling you, there's a hatred that comes into people's life. When they want to curse someone so bad, there's a hatred that comes in their life. I mean, we've seen it this week in the news. I mean, how many of you ever seen anybody hold the head of a president up full of blood? I don't care what president it is. That's a curse. That's cursing. And what happens is when you curse like that, that curse will come on you. You're cursing yourself. You're coming into agreement with that accusation. And what you're doing is you're blocking what God's blessing is intended for that person. That's why no matter who's president, we should pray, because it's our nation. But let's all just be real, church. We've been negative toward people in government we don't like either. Right? I know you have, because I read your Facebook posts. Right? We speak curses over people. Stand with me if you would this morning. Adam, I want you to begin to play. You know, I've had anger towards people in my life, and because I've had an anger toward them, I come into an agreement with a curse over their life. And what I'm doing is I'm blocking God's intention for their life. And that's why Jesus said we are to pray for our enemies. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Why did he say that? He said that because he wants you blessing instead of cursing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, what gives you the right to curse something that only I have the authority to curse? What gives us a right to curse something that only God has the authority to curse? Matter of fact, God himself didn't even curse it, because he died for it. He went to the cross and he died for the curse that was on mankind. And some people's lives are a curse. They live their life through a curse. But we are not to curse them. We're to speak blessing so God's intention can come out of their life. Part of having a commanded blessing in your life is understanding the principle of blessing and cursing. I will bless the things that God has blessed. And I'll even bless the things that God has cursed. Maybe there's somebody in your life that, as you know, lives under a curse. They live under the curse of sin in their life. They live under the curse. I want you this morning to begin to pray the blessing of God over their life. Maybe you're here this morning and someone has spoken negative words over you. I want to break that off of you this morning. I want to break it off of you this morning. You are not what they said you are. You will not be what they said you will be. Kids can curse kids at school. Y'all know that? Y'all know that? Husbands can curse wives. Wives can curse husbands. Just because y'all live in the same house don't mean you like each other. And what happens is we watch television and come into agreement with it and laugh at it on TV. When we see other people cursing other people on TV, we laugh at it. We come into agreement with it. No, I'm serious this morning. I'm just talking because I know how powerful words are. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, somebody has spoken over me and I'm not going to come into an agreement with anymore. I'm not going to come into an agreement with anymore. They said I'd always be poor, so I'm always poor. They said I'm a dummy. I'll never graduate. I'll never do anything. I'll never accomplish anything. They say I'm this. They say I'm that. They say I can't do this or I can't do that. How about we just break that this morning and just let the intention of God take care of your life? If that's you this morning, step out of where you are and just come down. Let us pray for you this morning. Come on, let us break that off of you this morning. Let us break that off of you. Let's break that off of you. You feel like somebody's placed a curse on you, spoken over negatively over your life, spoken negatively over who you are, who God's intended you to be. Just come on down here and stand down here and let us pray for you this morning. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Pastor, man, I've got to repent this morning. I've done more cursing than I have blessing. And I'm meeting you down here. Because this is my altar too this morning. There may be situations in your life that hasn't changed because you've been cursing it instead of blessing it. Maybe you want to change that this morning. Just come down. Just step out of where you are and come and find an altar this morning. Come on, step out of where you are. Say, I'm going to bless instead of curse. I'm going to bless instead of curse. I'm not going to speak negativity anymore. You want to get rid of the negativity in your life? You want to get rid of the speaking over negativity in your life? Just come this morning. Just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing something. Can we sing this morning? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Let's sing this morning before we pray for these that are down here.
It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Amen, oh my good, good Father.
Now, before I pray with these, there are two things that open the door for cursing in our life. One is fear will open the door for cursing. When we live in fear, what we've done is we've shut out the blessing of God because we don't trust Him. Fear. And the second thing is insecurity. When I first began to pastor, part of the struggle that I had, can I just share my heart? Part of the struggle I had as a pastor was that I lived my life through the prism of insecurity. So if I didn't have affirmation from people and from preachers, then I struggled with what I preached. So I would preach what people would want to hear. I would say what people would want to hear because I wanted affirmation. That affirmation brought security. And so when I was without a church, what happened in my life is that I went through a season where I began to believe everything that was negative that spoke over me or said to me. Someone could just say to me, you know, criticize my, say just something in criticism, and it would just break me down. And it'd take weeks for me to get over it. Why? Because I was living under a curse in my life to believe everything that people spoke over me. But when God took care of that in my life, when He broke that in my life, I began to look through the prism of blessing. And I began to see that what God does in my life is God's work in my life. If someone doesn't like what God does in my life, their issue is not with me, it's with God. And so I don't need 40 people telling me, Pastor, you're great. You preach that, you're great. I don't need that. I can go home every day. Why? Because my security is in God. It's not in the fear of man. And that's where your security should be. Now I need some help. Guys, help me pray over these this morning. And I want to pray for these folks. Hallelujah. Would you reach your hands out toward these? Hallelujah.